But there's something very special about this seventh month. There is the entire 21 days plus one is called the Feast of the Ingathering, including the Feast of Trumpets, the Day of Atonement, and the Feast of Tabernacles, but not the last day. We'll get to there later. Last day where everybody's heading for. But there's an ingathering that has to take place. All right? Let's go to Exodus 23, verse 16. And he talks about some of the harvest. Oh, don't talk about just the 16th verse right now. Exodus 23, 16. And the feast of the harvest, the feast of fruits, first fruits of thy labor, which you shall show in the field, and the feast of ingathering at the end of the year, when you have gathered thy labors out of the field. All right, now what is that gathering, the first gathering? Really is. Now Ezekiel 34, verse 22. Exodus 34, verse 22. And you shall observe the Feast of Weeks, that's the Shavuot, of the first fruits of the wheat harvest, and the Feast of Ingathering at the year's end. So now, why is it called the year's end? You have any idea why it's called the year's end? Why is it not called something else?
The end of the agricultural year.
All right, end of the agricultural year, okay. Why is the seventh month? So it ends. Seventh month is a concluding matter. That's true, but we're not talking about that. I'm talking about the ingathering right now. Actually, what does it goes into dormancy, not necessarily death. All right. Now, it says here, there's a connection here. We understand that there is an ingathering at the end of the year. Did you know there was another gathering before the end of the year? You didn't know. What is it? Shavuot is the ingathering of the middle of the year. After 50 days, you have gathered in all of the crops. You have gathered in all of the wheat. Now, they use the word Omar. Now, Omar is not a word of one thing. It's Omar is the collection of like a bushel of something. It's a lot of things. Who is keeping track of that count? When you put a bushel in there, do you have actually know exactly how much is in there of individuals? No, you don't. Who does? The Creator. I want to turn to John, the fourth chapter. John, the fourth chapter. Talk about this Shavuot for just a minute. John, the fourth chapter. Remember the woman at the well. And disciples went out to get him food. And so verse 34, Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish the work. Do you not say, there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest?" Believe it or not, the Feast of Ingathering is one of the biggest feasts that occurred in the time of the Messiah. It was extremely large and it lasted for a long time. It included the Feast of Trumpets, it included the Day of Atonement, it included the Feast of Sukkot, and it also included the eighth day. That whole feast period and the seventh month. So we are basically, what I'm trying to tell you, we are doing now. There are 9 days, by the way, before when we start the blowing of the trumpets. There are only 9 days, not 10, 9 days. The 10th day is something entirely different. You'll learn a little more about that come Wednesday. All right, so we have to kind of picture what's going on. And so we know that lifting it up and that you say that it's going, this, I need more laborers to gather in the wheat harvest. The wheat harvest is the first big gathering. During the days of unleavened bread, there is no gathering. You thought there was? No, there wasn't. What's that day to do? You eat unleavened bread. Why? To be able to do something. And that is to learn to purge from your world what?
Amen.
Let's get specific now.
Amen.
All right. Wickedness and malice must be purged from you. And so those period days, you learn to live what in that world means and how we are to respond. Now, you mean the ingathering comes from, and begins, rather, the Feast of Tabernacles, Feast of Trumpets and the Day of Atonement, and the Feast of Tabernacles, and the eighth day. We'll talk about that. So there is a time slot of 21 days, from the 1st to the 21st. Isn't that kind of paralleling something else? You remember what parallels? From the 1st of the first time of the year, when you start doing the barley thing, from that point all the way until the 21st. There's a period of time in between there. And what must you do? Well, you must begin to bring in the barley. You must do something with the barley. You must pick the lamb. And you must set the lamb aside. All that kind of work we do. Or they did. Had the command to do so. So as far as the Feast of Trumpets are concerned, briefly, we're talking about two silver trumpets in the book of Numbers, the 10th chapter. And I said last time, I don't hear very many people talk about the two silver trumpets. But I talk quite a bit about that because I have a different point of view on what the Feast of Trumpets is really referring to. All right? And it has to do with the two trees. You use them for the calling of the assembly and for the sojourning of the camps. You also have them that you shall blow the trumpet, and the assembly shall assemble themselves to thee, Moses in this case, at the door of the tabernacles of the congregation. Then you shall blow it once the princes, the leaders, the head of Israel, shall be gathered together unto thee. That's what the two silver trumpets are for, right? Two main pieces. There's also one more. It has to do with the war. That's a very important. Silver trumpets, not the shofar. Silver trumpet is for a purpose of declaring war. He said, now if you do that, I will remember. If you do that, I will deliver you out of the warfare. Now, put this all together. March in today, our 20th century, our 21st century, we have to kind of put some things together. Now, let me ask some of you questions. We go through our life daily, every day, ever since the Feast of Trumpets and onward. Guess what happens? We go through our life daily. We are more concerned with what is before us each day and encounter good events or bad events. Right? Feast of Trumpets, when you were here, of course, you didn't have your mind too much upon your daily work, daily things, daily function, but you went to work the next day, and guess what you were confronted with? Either that which was good or that which was bad. Right? And so we have a days that we have a really hard time with. Sometimes we may feel we are blessed, and sometimes we may feel that we are cursed. That is, it's not working for us and for our benefit as an individual people. But I want to go into now something very serious, because see the Feast of Trumpets and the Tabernacles, and all those things have a story for us to see and to understand. Few of us, if any of us here today, are at the receiving or not at the receiving end of those who wish to do evil to us. We have not shed blood yet. None of us have died. None of us have been killed. We have really a wonderful place. We have a wonderful country, and God is protecting you and protecting me from a very hard thing that is going to trouble. We're going to talk about a few things, because see, before the Feast of Trumpets comes, something else is going to happen. Now, very seldom do I ever go into what happens before, but see, if I do this today, it'll help us to understand why it's so important that we observe and understand the ingathering and the many pictures it's going to show us, including the Feast of Trumpets, including the Day of Atonement, and including the Feast of Sukkot, as well as the eighth day. Matthew 5:11, blessed are ye when people shall revile you and persecute you, and they shall show all manner of evil against you falsely for what reason?
My name's sake,
not your name, not your beliefs, not your conduct, but for his sake. None of us ever have been that ready against us. We might have an incident here and there where a relative or a husband or a wife, got angry with us, but we have not shed blood from it yet. In Matthew 5:39, but I say unto you that ye resist not evil, Do not retaliate for my sake, but whosoever shall smite ye on the right cheek, turn to him the left for my sake. None of us have been hit. Have any of you been out here, been hit upside the head, physically, hard, because of the sake of Jesus, or the sake of Yeshua? I don't see anybody any bruises. We haven't reached that point yet, have we? We haven't come to that point. All right? And he says, now, you have heard that, now this is a very interesting, it's how I look at Matthew 6:13, and it has to do with the Lord's Prayer. If I have a viewpoint, I look at it differently. I will show you what it is, tell you what I think about it. Because it really sounds strange when he says, lead us not into temptation. It makes no sense. Unless we understand what he's referring to. Lead us not into temptation. Or I'm saying, lead us not into hard trials. We don't want to go into hard trials. Don't take us to the hard trials. But, deliver us from evil. And that word in Greek also means from the punishment of the hard trials. Now, have you ever asked God to remove a hard trial from you? Well, this is one of those quests that you go before God. So we come through here, and we have not had to do that. Because, why? For that is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Therefore, take no thought for tomorrow. Thought of tomorrow, Matthew 6:34. For tomorrow thyself take thought of itself. Sufficient today are the evils thereof, the bad things that are taken today. Just enough today. Don't concern yourself with anything in the future. Work with what God has given you today. Now, sometimes we have a tendency to project in the future, plan something deep in the future. We're worried about this, worried about that, we're concerned about this, we're concerned about that 5 days from now, 2 days from now, 1 week from now, 1 month from now. And here, if we listen to Devarim Yeshua, do we respond to Devarim Yeshua? Do we react accordingly to His will? This is the reason why it's important bringing this up right now, because there's something very important that we need to kind of picture. You know what all of us are waiting for? I thought you'd do that the last on Feast of Trumpets. We're waiting for that last great trumpet, right? We want to hear that sound. That's what we really are after. That's what we want. We want to hear that to come, and we're excited about it if it happens. You understand what I'm saying? I hope you do. We're waiting for that time when that great sound from a trumpet, that angel is going to blow out there, and we hope we get the tune right. We hope our ears are tuned into it. But you know, if we are concerned too much about the concerns of this world, I'm sorry, even the political realm, the things around about you, your job, your finances, the evils, what's going to happen tomorrow, next day, next year, 2 years from now, 10 years from now, guess what? You're not, I'm just saying this, you're not listening to Devarim Yeshua. He says, don't be concerned about that. Now, that tells us something. If we are not concerned about that, does that mean we lay back and care less? Oh, no. We're paying attention to what he is saying. So what does he say? We've got to find out what he says in a minute. You know, waiting for that time when the trumpet will sound, and what happens? The corruptible, the dead person, must put on incorruption, no longer dead, and the mortal, still living, must put on immortality, no longer dying. We're waiting for that time. We want that time to come. And we wait for the return of Messiah. Now, lots of times when we think for Messiah, we have a tendency to concentrate upon the events of this world. We have a tendency to concentrate upon the great beast, you know, the wicked man, the one of the mark of the beast, and revelations, and all that which is where? Way in the future. It what happens to you, and it happens to me today, is, are we part of this? Are we now in the ingathering? Are we ourselves personally part of the ingathering? Are we to be part of the ingathering also when the Messiah returns? So I want you to put you in the point. With a feast of trumpets, when I told you to blow the horn, right? If you hear that sound, you are being gathered. You're in the process. You are the first ones to be gathered into the place where God is going to take you. And then you must do what? Well, you're going to be part of that other group who's going to gather and bring in the harvest at the end of the year. ingathering of all. And it's in the seventh month that all this takes place. It all takes place, technically speaking, biblically speaking, in 21 days. But I want to show you some bad news first. No one likes bad news, right? Remember last week I told you, I told you, when I picked up the horn, I says, it blows to where first? East, to whom? Judah and his companions. South, Reuben and its companions. West, Ephraim and his companions. And north, Dan and his companions. The trumpets are to call the house of Israel back. All right. And if you are linked with, in any which way, shape, or form, you are going to be drawn to that very same place. Because that's the calling. And that's what you're calling. Where are you going to go to? You call an assembly unto the tabernacle, the meeting of the tabernacle. That is where God is going to dwell.
You just say if you're linked with, I didn't catch that.
Just if you are a sojourner in the house of Israel, if you're a sojourner in the tribe of Dan, sojourner in the tribe of Judah, sojourner in the tribe of Reuben, sojourner in the tribe of Ephraim, and you go and you want to be part of their people, part of their, you're accepting the very same God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and that means you are part of that gathering. So when it blows, you come. I'm not talking about flesh and blood here. Although you may be, some of you may be flesh and blood. I don't know. I can't prove my DNA. And I don't know if you can prove your DNA. We have faith. We have ideas. We have concepts. We have beliefs. But that's all we have. The only thing that God says, I know the sons of Jacob. I know the sons of Jacob. That's all he says. That means all of them.
Richard, would you say that's the same as being grafted into the olive tree of Israel? Is it the same idea?
The same idea, but one says, when a good graft, when the Creator puts the graft in, you cannot tell the difference. All right? You know, when we put a graft under a tree, you kind of tell. It looks different. It's kind of different color. Now, you put one apple tree upon another apple tree, it comes out different, but not with the one that we're talking about here on the good olive tree. Once a wild branch, we place it onto it, it doesn't look wild anymore. All right? You understand what I'm saying?
Is the fruit the same as the natural olive
tree? Same. Identical. There's no difference between the two. No one has an upper hand on anyone. I'm going to go to a very hard place. And I know that this is my teaching, and I hope you understand what I'm saying. Before the blowing of the trumpet, before that day, before the day of the Feast of Trumpets begins, of the beginning of the ingathering, something is going to happen first. And I hope you understand. I very seldom ever speak about this because many people have different ideas, different thoughts, and different inputs. That's not rough. I'm not saying they're right or they're wrong. I'm saying go ahead and hear what they have to say and accept what they have to say or absorb and find out whether or not what they say makes sense. And that's what I'm asking of you today. Let's go. And he says, the blowing of the trumpet, there is a great trial that's going to come upon the house of Judah and the house of Israel. It is called the Great Tribulation. Now I want to prove back up what I'm saying to you. I know that we have this idea, and most Christians have the idea, that the Great Tribulation is going to affect every nation, every people on the face of the earth. But God says, what? I'm going to begin where? Oh, let's get more specific.
Israel.
And my temple. All right. You are the temple of the living God. The Spirit of the living God is dwelling within you. He's going to first begin there to clean that up first. All right. Remember it says there in Revelation, he is not to measure the Gentile area. He's to measure that inward part. And so he's going to have to purify and test us, try us. That's why I said, when he says, lead us not into hard trials, but deliver us out of the hard trials. Deliver means save us, bring us out. It's going to be hard for us. I know an awful lot of people have a different belief system, But I just want to bring this into you because we're going to talk about the Great Tribulation today, which I very seldom ever do. And I don't want to do this because I'm not going to relate it to the book of Revelations. I'm going to relate it to the book of Jeremiah. Alas, for that day, that timing is great, so that none is like it, even the time, that set of events of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. Jeremiah chapter 30. We think, Jeremiah chapter 30, sometimes we read Matthew 24, we think, oh, Jesus said, oh, Jesus said, wait a minute, he's quoting what he told the prophet to write way back in Jeremiah's day. You understand what I'm saying? Now, Jacob's trouble, what do you think that is? A piece of cake? Let's have a party? Let's rejoice? Or do you think it means a tribulation? Hard times. Deadly times. Because that's what Jeremiah 30th chapter is about. Jeremiah 30th chapter.
The time of Jacob's trouble would be the time of Israel's trouble. All Israel.
Okay, I'm using it from Jacob. That's what's quoted as Jacob. But the reason why it's Jacob, because it includes those who, quote, are not Israel. And the name of Israel means those that are serving as God. And there's an awful lot of people in all the houses, both all the families of God, of the Jacob, house of Jacob, that are not. Do not bear the name Israel.
Israel is Israel.
You got it. And we'll get there when we get to Genesis, the very last part of it. We'll clarify that later. But just keep those separations in your mind. It's not. The name was changed for a reason, for one reason, and for it to be a prince, a ruler. I'll tell you, most Israelites today are not rulers. Most Ephraimites are not rulers. Most Danites are not rulers. Most Reubenites are not rulers. They're just Jacob's kids. Right? All right. You had a question?
Is this Jacob's trouble correlated with the, Nebuchadnezzar coming in and taking over Jerusalem back?
This is in the future. We get to chapter 30 of Jeremiah. We'll see that really deep in the future is going to take place. Because what happened to Nebuchadnezzar, it was just the house of Judah. Here we say it's going to be both a house of Judah and a house of Israel. And Nebuchadnezzar did not come in on that date. All right. We're talking in the future advance because he says what he's going to do. Because they've not been delivered yet. If you believe Israel has been delivered, take a little bit of history. Most of the house of Israel is they don't know who they are. Literally don't know who they are. Tribe of Judah, you know, they know who they are. They know where they came from, right? I don't. Where I came from, I have no idea. I guess. My name happens to be in the Bible. It happens to be from the tribe of Ephraim. But that doesn't mean that's what I am. I have no idea. Okay, Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 1. The word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah from Yahuwah, saying, Thus speak Yahuwah, Elohim of Israel, saying, write these all the words which I have spoken to you in a book. For lo, the day is coming, says Yahuwah, that I will bring again the captivity, so they haven't not yet been captive yet, of my people, or they were captive, both Judah and Israel, my people Israel and Judah, says Yahuwah, and I will cause them to return to the land that I gave their fathers, and they shall pass. Oh, sounds good news, right? Oh, listen very carefully. And these, verse 4, listen to this. Very, very important because this is the warning. And these are the words that Yahuwah spoke concerning Israel and concerning Judah. All right? For thus says Yahuwah, you have heard the voice of trembling. Or we have heard the voice of trembling and of fear and not of peace. Ask ye now, and see whether a man does travail with a child. Let me ask you, today, do you know any man in this room is travailing as if they're having a child? Are they holding their loins? Are they in pain? Are they in suffering? No. Hadn't happened yet. I'm spiritual shift. I'm talking literal here because I'm thinking this thing in real literal right now. It's very, very important because a woman having a baby, that's very real. Right? Men haven't got that. He says, therefore I see, see every man with his hands on his loins. Oh, where's your loins at? Here? Or is it down there? It's down there. All right. A lot of pain and suffering. And he says, as a woman is travail, all faces will turn into what? Paleness. You're going to whack. Verse 7. Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of green for the old King James. Word even is not even in the Bible. Woe, for great is that day without any like it. Yea, yes, a time of adversity it is to Jacob, yet out of it he is saved. Alas, for the day is great, so that none is like it, and it is time of trouble unto Jacob, but out of it he shall be saved. Verse 8, Jeremiah verse 8. For it shall come to pass in that day, says Yahshua of hosts, I will break his yoke from off his neck and will burst thy bonds, and the stranger shall no longer see themselves on him. But they shall serve Yahuwah, their Elohim, and David their king, whom I will raise up. Talking about the resurrection. Therefore fear not, O my people Jacob, and say, says Yahuwah, neither be dismayed for Israel, for lo, I will save thee from afar and thy seed from the land of the captivity, and Jacob shall return and shall be at rest and quiet, and none shall make him peace. That sounds good, right? Now, let's look at verse 11. Verse 11. Told you the great tribulation. Told you about Jacob's trouble. Here's where it's at. For I am with thee, says Yahuwah, to save thee. Though I have made a full end of all nations, whether I have scattered thee, yet I will make a full, I will not make a full end of you, but I will correct thee in measure and will not leave thee altogether unpunished. For thus says Yahuwah, thy bruises is incurable, and the wounds are grievous. No one can heal you. Your wounds are devastating. There is none to plead thy cause, that thou shalt be bound up. Thou hast no healing medicines. All thy lovers have forsaken or forgotten thee. They shall seek thee not. For I have... What? They have or I have? I have wounded thee in the womb of an enemy, with the womb of an enemy. So when we think in our world that the enemy is coming and destroying, quote, Ephraim and destroying Manasseh, destroying Gad, destroying Dan, destroying Judah, guess who sent the enemy? They didn't send themselves. Right? Now, is that what you say, a very hard time? Would you say that if there is very evil and war and rumors of wars and talkings of wars, do you think he's talking about worldwide wars? Well, we'll get to the point because he's really referring to rumors of war against Israel and kingdoms will rise up against kingdoms in Israel. And that's what you go to Matthew 24. We're not there in Matthew 24 yet. Let's get there. So I have wounded thee with the wound of an enemy, with the chastisement of a cruel one. Not a soft one, not a kind one, not a gentle one. Did you have a question? Okay. For the multitude of thine... What is iniquity in Hebrew? Perverseness. Ah, right. Do you think that we have perverseness in our country? Or our country is not perverse? Guess what? He's going to be hard on you, that is Americans. He'll be hard upon you if you think you are of the tribe of Israel. He'll be hard on you if you are part of the house of Jacob. The trouble is going to come against you. Why? Because he said, I'm going to begin there first.
But most Americans do not think they are grafted into Israel.
That doesn't make any difference. God doesn't sell them because you didn't know. I'm not going to do anything about it because that doesn't happen.
But we physically are not Israel. I mean, Israel is physically in
saying.
A different place.
But if you are joined with, in spirit and mind and a heart and in service of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you are in spirit connected to the Israelites today.
We would be considered the remnant, but we're a very small remnant within this country.
The remnant, really, in Book of Revelations, is talk about the remnant, and it's a remnant of the house of Judah. We won't go there today, but when the devil came after the woman, she fled. He went after her remnant, which is Judah, and destroyed Judah. Okay? Now, where's her remnant at? It disappeared, went into hiding, because God hid them from the devil. We're not going to go there today. I want to talk about the tribulation. Because I want to tell you about what's going to happen here. And it says, because of thy sins were increased in the process of doing more and more. Whatever happened in history before, when it kept on getting increased bigger and bigger. What did God do? What did God do when equity and sin and all that got bigger and bigger and bigger? What did he finally do? He blared the earth with full water and just covered them all. And they all died. Right? Well, they're all their imagination of the mind is what? Right. Perverse, wicked, ungood, ungodly. And they kept on increasing and increasing and increasing. Why, verse 15, why cry you for thine affections? What are you bawling for? Why are you crying out, saying, deliver me, deliver me? I'm not going to deliver you. Thy sorrows is incurable for the multitude of thine iniquities, because thy sins are increased. I have done these things unto thee. Now he says he's going to deliver them out. We know that. Therefore, all they that devour thee shall be devoured. He's going to get his back and get him back. And verse 17 says, I will restore health unto you, and I will heal you of thy wounds, says Yahuwah, because they call thee an outcast, saying, what are they saying? This is Zion, whom no man seeks after. Why would they use that phrase? What is Zion? I'm sorry, what? Huh? Lord, okay, yeah. The law will come out of Zion and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. What was Zion once called? Do you remember? The city of David. All right, the city of David. Why would they call the city of David for? He was the king that God chose. A king has final say-so. A king institutes laws. And then the priest is to carry them out. Who separated the priesthood up? King David divided them. The king divided the priesthood. Remember? Now that gave you a parallel of the son of David who's going to divide the priesthood. He's going to be the Messiah himself. Yes.
So I'm going to be punished for my sin. I mean, he hasn't put it as far as the east is from the west. I'm still going to be punished for my sin.
If you are in the ingathering, no. We're not talking about... If you are in the house, if you are in the ingathering, no. Because he says, I will deliver you who hear me. But you've got to hear the word of the Lord. And then respond to the word of the Lord. We're talking about all the house of Jacob here. Alright? And the Jacob, God deals with Jacob first. He doesn't deal with anybody else first. He deals with Jacob first. All the entire Bible from that point on We know it always deals with Jacob. And it did, specifically, it goes on to deal directly with Judah and directly with Israel. And later on, it breaks it up even finer. And it goes against Judah and it goes against Ephraim. But we'll worry about that when that time comes. We're just taking this overall picture of what's taking place here now. Yes.
Sorry, this might be, this is later on in 31, but it was saying...
Where are you at?
Jeremiah 31?
Yeah.
Sorry, let me find it. Oh, yeah, verse 31. Okay. You know that... Here the days are coming, verse 31, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their fathers on the day I took them by the hand and brought them out of the land of Egypt, because they, for their part, violated my covenant, even though I, for my part, was a husband to them, says the Lord. For this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days. I will put my Torah within them and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will any of them teach his fellow community member or his brother, know the Lord, for all will know me, from the least of them to the greatest, for I will forgive their wickednesses and remember their sins no more. I just thought that was interesting because, you know, we talk about the new covenant and the renewed covenant and whatever it is.
Okay. If you respond to the new covenant, uh-huh. You are in the ingathering. I'm not talking about you who are not. If you're responding to this thing, you are going to be free from it, and the word of the Lord is being written in your mind and written in your heart. It takes about 70 years for that to happen, by the way.
You're saying it's a future thing, though, but when it says he will forgive their wickednesses and remember their sins no more.
We're going into what Wednesday is going to present to you. Wednesday is going to be the presentation of when that will take place for all of the house of Israel. There's something Apostle Paul said that when the number of Gentiles are counted, all right, then all of Israel will be saved. There is a time limit for everything. And right now we are still in the wheat harvest.
So can I just ask one more thing? So has any part of that covenant been fulfilled now? Like, what about... What he said, our sins being cast from, as far as east is from the west, has that happened already? Or I mean,
yes, it's happened already.
Yeah.
But that happens.
So, okay.
When the ingathering, that's why it's a good news to be part of the ingathering, because that has happened to you. But it hasn't happened to the world yet. When the Messiah, when that last trump blows, guess where we're going to be? With him. What happens to those who are not? They have to go through the process physically as well as spiritually. Every part of their being and nature and character, how they think, how they live, how they act, how they run their world, has to change. And like many of us in this room, it didn't happen the day we got baptized. It takes years and years and years and years when you start hearing the word of Devarim Elohim. Oh, is that what he said? I'm not going to act upon it. And now I'm going to do it. There was a gentleman not too long ago, couple weeks ago, said, oh, now I understand the holy days. It's more than just observing it. It's doing it. All of a sudden it clicked. Oh, now I have a better picture. Been keeping the feast, been doing the tabernacle, been doing all that thing for about maybe 10, 15 years. You know, he just done it. The joys and praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Great, great, great. And all of a sudden it clicked. Oh, yes, I do. I go there. I'm going to, quote, keep them, end of quote. But now, he's going to be there. He's going to be being, doing. He is part of the great ingathering. God's looking at, and he judges our heart. Remember what Daniel mentioned last time he spoke? That God looks at the heart. Every one of you, he looks at the heart. And the reason why he does that is because why? He knows if he gives you his word, not all at once, you will begin to act upon it as you begin to hear it. And it takes, God says, it takes 70 years of your life to finally get the picture. I'm almost 70. I mean, I'm approaching 70 years. And it's happening, you know. I have so much more to learn in the next 3 years. I'm going to be so far behind. Right? But it's okay. God's only going to teach me what He knows that my heart and my mind, my soul, my being can absorb and do and participate. There's a lot of things that I don't understand. And I told my wife a couple of weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, I was very disturbed because I couldn't figure out how come He was not letting me see and understand a certain places in the Bible. And it troubled me. And I was really in deep trouble. And the answer came when I studied Jacob. What did Jacob ask the guy he fought with? What is your name? None of your business. Oh, okay, none of my business. And that answered and solved my innermost doubts and fears. I'm afraid, I'm terrifying, but whether or not I am kind of walking where God wants me to walk, everyone in this room are always constantly aware, I hope, that we where God wants us to walk. We have to look at ourselves daily and hourly sometimes and see. If we can't seem to see it, we say, God, I need for you to help me to walk. I'm on my belly and I'm crawling. And I'm not quite sure if I even get my feet which direction to go. Yes, I know you say go straight, either left or right. Please help me. What is straight? Let me know what's going on. And He's only going to give it to us as much as He knows that we ourselves can have. I am not going to make an influence on the history of mankind. I'm not going to make a history and influence of anybody in my life. I might make one or two impressions upon two or three people all my life, but God is the one that makes the biggest impression. He is the one you're listening to, and that's part of the ingathering. When you are listening to Him, and the seventh month is all a part of you being coming together, you not with one another alone, but you're coming into the ingathering of a lot of people. And it started not just on Shavuot, way back in Shavuot, when you began, and you began to respond. And when that count is completed, and only God knows the count, then we will see. And we wait for that count. Do you wait for the count? Yeah, I wait for the count. You understand what I'm saying? So when we are responding to the words of God, and we're trying to do our very best to see, each one of us have to look at it. You can't depend upon somebody else teaching you. You can't depend upon somebody else explaining it to you. You've got to look at it and study it and see, and tell you the truth, it doesn't do any good unless you ask. You say God knows what you need of? Yes. What's He waiting for? Waiting for you to ask. What did He say? Ask, knock, and receive. Oh, we got to do all three of those things. Yeah, you got to do all three of those things.
I just, Bill made a comment about punishment.
Yes.
And I just felt like there's a big difference between chastisement of the Father and punishment. And we're not, if we're part of the ingathering, you know, He chastises us, like it says in the Brit Hadashah, a father chastises his son.
We should be asking God to chastise us. We should be asking God to correct us. What did King David say? Pull my reins and see if I respond. Do you ever ask God to pull? To pull on you? Do you ever ask God to test you out? Find out whether or not you really, or are you terrified of asking that question? King David wasn't afraid. He asked. Why? Because you know why? He wanted to be here. He wanted to be in the ingathering. He wanted to be part of God. He wanted to be part, and Daniel's going through some very fine details about that with him. Now we'll go to Matthew 23. Now talk about Jacob's trouble and Jacob's trials and Jacob's difficulties. I said this is how I view this thing, because I see in Jeremiah, the house of Israel and the house of Jacob. I'm going to punish you. Matthew. Verse 20, chapter 23, verse 37. We all should know this, right? Now, all this is going to happen prior to the blowing of the trumpet, prior to the ingathering. And people, this is what we need to know and look at. If we are here, you will not be living in Hoshech. You will be in the order. You'll be in the light. Order. That's the Hebrew word for light. Or. Order. That's the word for light in Hebrew. If you're in the light, you're in the gathering. Alright? If you're not in the light, you are the outcast. You know what I'm saying? Alright? I hope each one of us can look and see, regardless of what we have lived our past right now, are we in the gathering or are we going to depart from the gathering? You don't want to do that, do you? All right. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, that kills the prophets and stones them, which are set unto thee. How often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathers her chickens under her wings, and ye would not come. Behold, your house is left to you empty. For I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth, till you say, Blessed is he, it comes in the name of the Lord. It comes in the name of Yahuwah. In Matthew 24, verse 1, very interesting words. I hope you kind of look at this for a moment. Matthew 24, first verse. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. You mean he didn't see them before? And he didn't see them before? Oh, I got to show you the buildings. That's a strange question. Don't you think that's odd? No, they were excited about the building. They wanted to show him what they think is beautiful and gorgeous and wonderful, every one of the buildings that are associated with the temple. Because it was a very beautiful area, well taken care of, very expensive buildings. Right? But I want to drop down now to, we talk about all this thing, read about the about wars, rumors of wars, earthquakes, famines, and so on and so forth. Verse 4, and Jesus answered and said to them something. Did you see what it says, verse 4?
Yeah,
be not deceived. First, he says what?
Take
heed. Of what? Who's going to do the deception? Who's going to do the deceiving? Verse 5. What does it say? Many will come, what? In my name, not theirs. Saying, I, Yeshua, is the Messiah. And guess what they're going to do? They're going to deceive. So, I want to comment to you. We are in, I know this, but I feel this very much. Many of you have come from a world that was contrary, even though you were Christians, you were still contrary to a messianic picture as now you understand it. Okay? But, take heed on how you hear even those who use the messianic name as well. You as individuals are held accountable for how you hear something, and you as individuals must hear, and you must hear and take accountable upon me. You gotta watch out. Now, does Richard really know what he's talking about? Or is he going to lead us astray? Is he going to set us off onto the wrong tangent? Check me out, or check yourself out. Find out whether or not, because in the latter days, that's what he's talking about. He's not talking about what happened in the 3rd century, 4th century, tenth century. He's talking about now. Because he said, when are you going to establish your kingdom? Ah, this is what's going to happen. At the end, there's going to be an awful lot of wars, an awful lot of rumors of wars. There's going to be an awful lot of earthquakes. Now, do you think that's happening to us? History has shown there's more earthquakes now than ever before. Mankind recorded. Okay? And we are there. We're there. And more famines are occurring all over the world, and especially it's increasing here in the United States of America. Right? We're seeing it happening to some of our very, in the second, California alone, in San Joaquin Valley. And something's going to happen, and they will deceive. Verse 10, and then shall many be offended and shall betray. What does the word betray mean? In Greek, it's referring to, will turn one into the authorities. Who will turn into authorities? Those who are offended. How did they become offended? Oh, because they were deceived. Wow. You see the building up? Now, when we come to this particular point in time, you may face blood. You may face blood. You may face death. You may face, not because of any other reason except for my name's sake. The name of what you know. And if we listen to Devil Rima Yeshua, we must then act upon it, walk in it, think about it, and do our very best to say, I don't know what you mean. And you ask. You ask. I'm telling you, you need to ask the Creator of heaven and earth. That is your strongest ally. It's the most important one you can get the straight answer from. He's the one that revealed to you and said He will protect you at all costs, including the life of His Son. He will protect you and deliver you out. However, if you have a tendency to listen to somebody preaching, like me, and you assume that what I'm saying is the end, you are in serious trouble.
I think that's why Paul, I think it was Paul, talked about, you know, the Bereans being an example and testing everything out to the Word, not just taking man's, you know, word on it.
Now, verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached unto all the world as his witness for unto all nations, and then shall come the end. The end of what? Did you ever ask that question? The end of what? Well, let's find out. Let's find out what he says. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of the desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet, stand in a holy place, whosoever reads, let him understand. Then let him be in where? I thought it was New York City. No, Santa Rosa, California. Boston, Massachusetts. London. Paris. Where? Yeah. In Judea. The reason why he's saying Judea is why? He will do what first? All right. You start with the temple. Clean the temple up first. And then we're going to go to the outskirts. And he's going to clean up where the center of everything that the eternal Creator said is going to begin there. It is going to end there. And it's going to be in Judea, in Jerusalem, and in that area. And it, believe it or not, you are going to feel the impact. Don't tell me, I'm not saying you will not feel the impact when it comes, because it's going to come. And you're going to see them flee. Flee, where are they supposed to flee to? In the gutters? In the valleys? In the mountains? Get up high. Get away from it all. And you know how to stop? Don't even bother going to get your stuff. Why? Do you have a get-out bag? I've got a get-out-of-town bag handy. Well, you know, don't go down and get. Don't if you're in Judea, don't go get it. Just get out of town. Why? That's pretty dumb, isn't it? No, because if you rely upon the Creator of heaven and earth, this is hard times. Now listen to what he's saying. Now we're talking about the tribulation. You need to let him go out. Okay. Notice the trumpet has not yet been heard, and no gathering of any people has occurred. Did you notice that? There is no gathering. There are no moving of people. Nothing is moved. Nobody's heard a trumpet. Nobody has come to the ingathering. Nobody has come to the place of safety. They're fleeing for their lives. Now, with that in mind, he says, "For then shall be great tribulation," verse 21, "such as not seen since the beginning of the world to this time, no one ever shall be." Now, did we read that back in Jeremiah? But did Jeremiah say the same words? Did you notice that? In Jeremiah, who is he speaking to? Was he speaking to Russia? Was he speaking to China? Was he speaking to? Who was he speaking to? All right, the house of Judah and the house of Israel. That's who he's speaking to. You know, we don't like, we want to be part of God. I want to be part of God. You want to be part of God. But sometimes we might want to say, let me step aside for just a little while the chaos takes place. Put me somewhere where I won't be in trouble. I won't be hurt by it. You step aside, you let go of the plow. Remember that? Don't let go of the plow. You got to keep working.
Is it likened to the plagues of Egypt? The Israelites suffered the first three with the Egyptians, did they not? And then the last six, they were...
Here, we're reading something, though, that is far worse. Just talk of the house of Judah and the house of Israel. It's going to be far worse than that. It never has happened before in the history of mankind, and after that, it will not happen again. So it's going to be very devastating. You're going to wipe an awful lot of people. We think the first thing he's going to wipe out, and I'm sorry, we think he's going to wipe out the Germans, the Nazis, the Muslims, the Africans, the Chinese. Why? He's not dealing with them yet. He's dealing with the house of Israel and dealing with the house of Judah. We are going to receive what it says in Jeremiah as a people. But we as individuals, if you're part of the ingathering, welcome to the ingathering. If you're responding to the Devarim of Yeshua, or Devarim Elohim, you are part of the gathering. You're hearing what he's saying. And you're not just sitting there and saying, "Oh, that's the word of the Lord. Oh, that's the word of the Lord. Oh, well, the Lord said. Oh, well, the Bible says." It's what you do. It's what I do that makes the difference. Right? As you said, "I will protect those who love me." Now, we didn't mean to protect us to the point where we live on the most luscious place in the face of the earth, but will protect us against. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us out of the evil. The bad. That Greek word is bad. A harmful one. Don't think it means evil in the sense of wicked. In Greek, it means the hard things, the bad things, the difficult things. Yes. Where are you at?
I was kind of looking at 2 Thessalonians, and I thought we had more division among us on this issue, but I'm trying to figure out what that is right now. But it looks to me like the problem is, when does the tribulation start and how we interpret that? Because we just quoted that until the full number of Gentiles comes in, and then 2 Thessalonians says, don't fret, there's going to be a lot of hard times. There's people in China paying for their lives for confessing Yeshua. But it says in 2 Thessalonians, until we see that abomination of desolation standing in the holy place, it hasn't started.
Hasn't started.
Yeah.
Now, I agree with you. Okay. That's what it says here in Matthew 24th chapter. The desolation will be set up, but that's not the beginning of the tribulations. That sets up, then the tribulation is going to come. Because that's going to cause the tribulation to take place. the correction, the chastisement, that the eternal Creator. We don't like it when we curse Nebuchadnezzar. However, God says, I raised up Nebuchadnezzar to punish you, whether you like it or not. That's how he works. What Daniel mentioned, who is God's army? Any group of people he so chooses, they become his. Good.
Just one more. Because that brings, correct me if I'm wrong, that brings up a thought too. Israel paid a much different price during that time.
Yes.
They were in the walled cities eating each other. But Judah, while they were being punished, it was in relative safety. You could have died in the fire. Daniel's friends could have died in the fire. But they were in relative safety under God's chastisement.
Because the promise it gave to David. Because the promise it gave to David. That's the only one. That's the reason why they're still around. Because the promise it gave to David. He fulfilled his promise even though the Jewish people don't walk his way. Okay? Israel, yeah, they lost. But at the end time, a lot of people don't realize at the end time he's going to still punish the family of Jacob. We think, oh no, Jacob's finished, dead, buried, gone, who cares about him? Well, the ones that are really alive now, that really are part of Jacob, is the Jews. Well, that's not what the Word of God says. He says there in prophecy, you sons of Jacob, I know who you are. I don't know that. He does. If I am of that one of the tribes, if, I don't know. I can be 100% Gentile, I don't know. Makes no difference to me. But he said, I know who you are. And I don't know how he knows. Since he created DNA, I guess he knows that better than anybody else. We call it DNA. I don't know any other word we could use it.
Well, one could then start to see, you know, you talked about many being offended and the great falling away. I mean, what you just described, the mentality is, we're going to be fine, we're going to be spared, and we're out of here. I had that mentality. So I can see how many would be offended when they thought they're supposed to be out of here, and then they're subjected to all this hard times, and they start betraying people.
But let's get back here to Matthew 25, verse 21. He says, for then shall great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened. That means that basically, unless I speed it up rapidly and quickly, no one's going to come out of this thing alive. So we have direct intervention now of God. No trumpet's been blown yet. Then if any man says unto you, oh, the Messiah's over here, false one, don't believe it. Now we come into false messiahs. The latter part of the statement is now we have the false messiahs coming in the very last part. Of course, this is the main purpose. It says down here, if possible, they would deceive even the very elect. Technically speaking, that's what they're after. I mean, his first statement tells you, of course, that's the main reason for all these false prophets and all these false messiahs is to grab a hold of and to destroy the elect. They're not out there. The ones who are not of the elect, they're already gone. They're going to receive a tremendous amount of bad news. But the elect will not. They will be delivered from it all. Are you part of the elect? Are you part of the in-gathering? Are you part of gathering yourself unto the Lord?
That verse in Matthew, if you break it down more in Greek, it's more likely, if possible, they will be deceived. So if we have areas in our life that are undealt with, if it's possible for us to be deceived, we will be deceived.
That's true. However, in the book of Romans, explains who the elect are, and they will be protected. I'm not saying if you could possibly come to a point where you're thinking, oh, maybe that's true, but the eternal spirit is in you, and if you request this of the eternal and request it of him on a one-to-one basis, he will tell you and show you the deception. Have faith that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, he's not going to come and talk to you in a bunch of words. That's not what he does. 99% of us never hear a word from anybody. We just respond to what the light bulb clicks on. And he says now, it was possible. Behold, I've told you before. For after the tribulation, those days shall the sun be dark and the moon and so on and so forth. Give the sign. By the way, it says there's not yet the blowing of the horn. It hasn't come up yet. Just a, oh, there it is. But the horn has not been blown yet. It's not blown until those days shall be, sun be dark and the moon shall not give her light. And he shall send his angels with the sound of a trumpet. For what reason? To gather. Bring them into the ingathering. Now, isn't that good news?
Amen.
So we are here in the seventh month. The Feast of Trumpets, we know that has to do with ingathering. We read that in Numbers 10th chapter and how we relate it to what Jesus said in, I mean, Apostle Paul said in his words. And then we come now, we're going to have what's called basically the blowing of the trumpet or the sounds of the bringing the people of Israel in is still yet to be completed, as will all the house of all the Gentiles have yet to be completed. And then comes the Day of Atonement. The Day of Atonement has everything to do with the ingathering. Everything to do with the ingathering. Because without that, it's incomplete. All right? And then when that is finished, where do you go? Well, you go to the Feast of Sephiroth, which is also in the ingathering. We have the 70 bulls, gathering them in. And we'll be part of that gathering in. We'll get to the Feast of Tabernacles, we'll talk about that. He says, and it shall be a great day that the great trumpet shall be blown. And in that day, one by one, will come unto the Messiah. As we come to the Day of Atonement, we will see how that day is very much a part of the end gathering. So in Exodus, way back started in Exodus, remember? The three seasons. And the last one is the end gathering. It includes 21 days plus one. And the eighth day is where we all will be when it has come to an end. All right? I hope we have a little bit more of a picture. This is what I'm just trying to tell, what I see. And I'm not saying that when someone comes up with another idea, it's not right, it's not improper. It's just saying they have good points. Listen to them. At the same time, there's something else. If you don't understand, what do? You ask. And you seek. And you find. That's what you do. Don't count on everything you hear coming out from some book, from some CD, from some video, from some preacher like me, from anybody. You count upon living by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of Yahshua. Okay? You're going to see things I do not see. You'll understand things I do not understand. And I do not judge you because you don't see what I see. And I just want to, the reason why I'm bringing this one up is because, to my mind, the reason why the big ingathering is going to take place is because all the chaos is going to happen prior to the blowing of the trumpet.